Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame Spaced Encarta.
So is that like a blank space?
More like spaced out, like...
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if it was like a blank space and you were trying to tell me that you're a big fan of Taylor Swift and that we should all go out and register to vote.
Well, I already am registered to vote.
So am I. So, and I hope a lot
I've been registered to vote since I was 18 years old. Yeah, and
me too.
And spaced as in, like, you know, maybe some drug use and or needing, you know, a roommate to pretend to be my partner to then
live in a space.
Live in a space. You get it? Like space. Yeah. And so that's pretty much what I mean. Blank space, too, I guess. That's a good song.
Yes,
so,
it is. And I write your name.
Yeah.
See? So that we're all good.
Yeah. Yep.
So on a serious note here, though, I just wanted to... I got some advice for people out there, especially, you know, women and people at work. I mean, not just women, but, you know, like men as well, or non-binary people or transgender people, whatever. Whatever have you. A friend of mine... is an Uber driver, and she was picking up somebody who is a stripper at a strip club, and she went there to pick her up and the girl wasn't there, and she kept sending messages to the girl on the app or whatever, and the girl finally got back to her and said that she got in another car thinking it was her Uber driver. Oh, and the guy tried to rape her.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And luckily she somehow got out of the car and ended up on the side of the road somewhere, and then my friend was able to then find her. The girl only had like 6% battery on her phone too, so it was kind of scary and everything, but was able to find her and bring her home and everything, so she's fine. But she did tell her that, you know, I'm not a violent person, but one thing you might want to do if you're in a situation where anything like that could possibly happen is maybe you can get like a taser online for like $15.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so you might want to do that. It just worries me. When I read the message from my friend telling me about her experience with that, I was just like, and she carries one too, because she's always worried as an Uber driver that somebody's going to get in the car and try to do whatever, you know, somebody could try to rape her or kill her or whatever, you know. So, I mean, I know this is kind of a downer to start the episode with, but but I just wanted to share that with people because it's been really on my mind lately, and it's just really worried me because I'm just like sitting here thinking, especially if you live in a bigger city or something. I mean, I'm not trying to say this couldn't happen in a small town, but, you know, it's just...
Well, it could.
Yeah, just, you know, if you're out walking by yourself, especially at night, you might want to do that. Or, you know, if you're getting an Uber or a Lyft ride or something like that, you know, or a cab, just be safe, you know, be out there, you know. Don't just go, you know, tasing people willy-nilly, though, either, you know. So, yeah, but, you know.
Now, what if there's a way... that it makes it easier for Uber drivers to not be impersonated either, so that...
Well, I mean, this was slightly... I mean, I'm not blaming the victim here, but it was slightly the fault of the dancer there, because she didn't look, because when you look on the app, it'll show you the name of the person and a picture of the person.
Oh, I see.
That you're supposed to be meeting, but she got in. But I mean, instead of getting in a car with my friend, she got in a car with this dude, you know, so it's like, who obviously wasn't the person that was supposed to pick her up. So, you know, right, so, right. Yeah. So it's always, you know, always good to double check that too. That's another good advice. You know, I mean, I've only rode Uber a few times, but it's always like, I'll look on the thing and it'll be like, oh, Bill, you're able to pick me up. Okay, cool. That looks like Bill. He's here to pick me up, you know, that sort of thing, you know, realize. And they usually vet people pretty well on that app. Not saying that even after that, somebody could be like a piece of shit that's picking you up, but you know,
yeah,
it's just good to be safe here, folks. So anyways, yeah. I just want people to be safe out there. And with all the shit that's going on in the world and people like fighting with each other over politics and cultural wars and all that stuff and racism and sexism and all that stuff going around, it's just, it's good to be aware of your surroundings and, you know, be safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing too, if you're looking for a place to live, a good thing to do is maybe be safe there too.
Yeah.
Because I've known people that go to, you know, have issues with that. But there was a sitcom. I know this is a horrible transition, folks. There's a sitcom called Spaced that we're going to cover today. We're going to cover the pilot episode. First off here, what was your initial reaction to this show here?
I really liked it. I mean, I watched it 3 times, and I usually don't do that unless I either really like an episode or I hate it so much that I want to just be able to come up with stuff to talk about, you know, to pretty much bash it. But
yeah,
no, I mean, I really liked it. It's got a familiar feeling. I think I've seen it once before when I was younger. But it's like one of those things, like a deja vu type of, hell, just like a deja vu type of feeling. Like it seems like I've seen it before, or just yeah, seen something before as well, like the kind of humor. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, it's got the dude from Shaun of the Dead. I don't know his name, but
Simon Pegg. Yeah.
Yeah, Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's also got the, it's also directed by the director of Shaun of the Dead, Edgar Wright.
Oh, okay.
The show was created by Jessica Hines and Simon Pegg, the two stars of the show. So, I believe every episode, if not every episode, at least most of them are all directed by Edgar Wright. This was prior to Shaun of the Dead, and this is part of our British sitcom reviews that we're doing, our Britcoms. As we wait for the actor's strike to end, since our last episode, the writer's strike is coming to an end. Very soon, once things are all finalized and everything, there's a tentative agreement between the AMPTP and the Writers Guild of America. So yay for them, and good for that too, because it's a good sign. Hopefully the actors get one very soon. Maybe by the time this episode releases, there might be some kind of tentative.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the writers, you know, are going to be off strike, but you can't really do much without the actors. I mean, you could do some things like talk shows, maybe.
Yeah, like talk shows and late night variety shows are allowed to be there. Even the performers are under a different kind of contract when it comes to those things.
Yeah.
So we are going to be seeing things like the Tonight Show and Late Show and Late Night and things like that coming back, and your other talk shows and stuff, but also like Saturday Night Live is probably coming back soon too.
Oh, okay. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, because the actors on that show are still part of SAG, but it's a different contract for this than it is for like episodic television or movies. So yeah.
Oh,
I wasn't sure about that, and I looked it up the other day and I found out that we may be seeing Kenan Thompson on our TV screens very soon, so that'd be good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And whoever
else is in that cast. And I can just say, you know, Kenan Thompson and whoever else is in that cast, and that'll cover probably the rest of the history of SNL, because I have a feeling he's just going to die on that show. No, just joking.
He's not on it forever. No, really, he has.
He's been on it 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
longest. Because I remember when Tim Meadows quit and it was seen as a big deal. Like,
yeah,
really, Jim on here for like 8 years? Oh my God. And then it's like Kenan Thompson's like, hold my beer. And then he's like,
Daryl Hammond had been on there for quite a while too before him. He was like the longest one until Kenan surpassed him. So yeah. And Daryl's back part of the show, but not a cast member because he's the announcer. So yeah, it's he took over when Don Pardo passed away. But anyways, back to this show. I really enjoyed it. It's a really cool concept to begin with, and the way that they do this show, I've seen several episodes of it years ago, and this is a pretty popular show. I mean, it's a cult favorite of people in the United States, probably pretty big over in Great Britain too. So it ran for several seasons. So it's cool. This episode that we are covering today is called Beginnings. It aired September 24th of 1999. As I said, it was directed by Edgar Wright. It was written by Jessica Hines and Simon Pegg. And it stars Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines, along with a bunch of other people who we'll mention as we get to them.
Yeah.
So what happens in this episode?
Quite a bit. It opens up with Simon Pegg's partner or girlfriend breaking up with him. And it's shot to make it look like his future roommate is breaking up with him because she's breaking up with like some homeless dude who just like they like hooked up like one time or whatever. Yeah. But it's made to look like they're both having a conversation where she's up like on the window, like from like an apartment, you know, talking down to him. But it's really his girlfriend, Sarah, who's just breaking up with him now. And so I thought that was kind of neat. And
yeah, it was an interesting, you know, like twist sort of thing.
Yeah. And she's got a boyfriend of her own, I think, who's going to college somewhere. And she lives kind of like basically like a kind of like in a bohemian apartment with like, you know, like seven other people type of situation. And she needs like, you know, an actual place to live. And he happens to be sitting at like a coffee shop, and she asks if she could sit kind of next to him so she can look at the paper to look for apartments. And then I like the line where he says something like, what are you looking for? And she goes, what have you got? And he's like what? He's like,
she's sitting there first looking at the paper, and he comes up.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because that's why, you know, he sees her looking in the paper, and she's just like, what are you looking at?
And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were a drug dealer. And then he says, oh, thanks. And then, I thought that was funny. And then and they kind of basically just strike up a friendship for like the next 2 weeks, just hanging out at this coffee shop all day, looking for either jobs or mainly an apartment. And then he ends up finding this apartment that actually seemed like a dream, even in 1999, £90 a month, which that seems unthinkable. Even in 1999, that does not sound. You know what I mean? But you had to be a professional couple to live there, which even then, that's like £45 per person for a month. I mean,
That's like nothing.
It's nothing. And they show the apartment, and it actually looks pretty decent. Now, it kind of made me almost depressed a little bit, because at that time, that probably wasn't seen as being like a crazy thing. And now we're in 2023. You got apartments in New York, studio apartments in New York City going for like $4,000 a month. My dad's friend's daughter, she lives in New York City. She found an apartment. It's just a tiny one-bedroom apartment, $4,000 per month, and she's got to pay $500 a month for parking. And that's just on rent and parking every single month. And I'm like, what are you doing with the rest of your money? Like, I mean, like, you know. And
I'm looking it up, and I was just curious, like in the year 2000, which was the year after this, the average rent of a furnished apartment was only £91.94.
That's how many dollars, American dollars, would that be, you know? Or
I don't know what the exchange rate was in 2000, but yeah.
That still doesn't sound like a lot, even if you didn't like inflation.
Yeah.
It would be like, well, like maybe £200 to £300 a month, which again is not at all like bad, like expensive, like especially if it's furnished. But anyway, I'm getting bogged down on the apartment. It's a really nice apartment.
It is. Like, and I'm just like, I think the median gross rent in the United States in 2000 was like $602, which doesn't make sense, because that's like, I mean, the thing is with England is a lot smaller of a location than the United States. We have like, you know, in, you know, your rent, of course, like you said, New York City, it's going to be a lot different than it is in Ohio, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just weird. But anyways, back to the story.
No, I got bogged down on the rent.
Me too. I'm just, when I heard the 90 earlier, I was just like, Man, I wish my rent was 90 pounds.
I know.
I would even go to the bank and exchange my dollars for pounds just to pay the rent if that was how much it was. Yeah, right now, like 90 pounds to a dollar is gotta be like is 90 pounds in dollars right now is $109.
Oh,
So it's
that's
still like nothing.
so yeah, it would have been $109 per month in 1999 or 2000 for that's still nothing. But yeah, I guess the solution to our problems is then we just need to move to England or the UK and then get ourselves like a work visa or something, and then we'll just find a really cheap apartment, which would probably be better. It'd probably be a better area neighborhood than anything we have in America. And plus, too, it's not like England or UK is not swarming around with guns, so you don't have to worry about that. I mean, you got to worry about knives and shit, though, of course. But
Yeah,
like,
like right now, the average rent in the United Kingdom is £758, which is like $1,000.
so I guess not a solution. God damn it! Whatever.
Yeah,
And
so
fuck you, UK. And then,
it's
but
just inflation in general, but I got to look up what the US was on some other websites, but we'll get back to the story and I'll find that
And
later.
yeah, and so she convinces him to pretend to be her husband or boyfriend so that they can convince the landlady to, to let them move there. And like they come up with like, memorize like certain key parts of their lives growing up and like the exact amount of years and days they've been dating, 5 years, 3 months, and 8 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And they told this landlady. And she asks, if they're working or not, because they said that they're both artists, or
Yeah.
journalists. And they're like, oh yeah, we're really busy and stuff like that. And then she's kind of like a dunce, sort of like, and so she's like, yeah, you can just move in whenever you feel like it. And then and they're like, oh okay, well that was easy, I guess we didn't really need to
Yeah.
we didn't really need to do that. And so they move in. I forgot what Simon's name is in this movie. Actually, I don't know, I don't
Oh,
remember
okay,
that
so
either.
the characters in this show
I forgot their name.
are we have Simon Pegg playing Tim Bisley, Beasley, Bisley.
He's Italy, probably.
Yeah. And Jessica Stevenson plays Daisy Steiner.
Daisy, I like that name.
Yeah.
Beasley, I think the only reason why I know that is that's the last name of one of my friend's husband. It's Beasley. I think that's how you
It's
pronounce
a
it.
Bisley.
It's B. Oh no! Oh no! For him, it's BEA.
Yeah, no, this is, I think it might be more like Bisley because it's
Oh,
Bisley. Yeah, so yeah.
yeah, and this guy's British too, so maybe it's an English name.
Or
But
it could be Bisley. I don't know.
yeah, it could be. And so we kind of find out that everyone who lives in this apartment's kind of sort of like bohemian. So I don't know if that's like intentional, of like that's she only rents the people who are kind of like that, because like they end up beating this dude when Tim goes to take out the trash after they. It was actually a good transition there, because they're smoking a joint and he's showing her his comic book, his idea, and then she like kind of pulls it apart. It's like, well, why didn't the mad scientist just make another batch of the chemical? That and he's like, oh well, it's because he made it by accident and he could and he's trying to recreate it or whatever. And then he's like, so do you like my comic? And she's like, yeah, it's really good. And he's like, that reminds me about the rubbish.
Yeah.
And then so he takes out the rubbish and the trash, and he ends up meeting this dude who's like naked, and he like they let him come in or whatever, and like they have this weird exchange where Daisy says something like, do you live downstairs or something? And he goes, what, are you asking me if I'm gay? And he's like, wait, what? Like, he's like, are you saying I am I a gay? And she's like, no, I just meant do you live downstairs. And he's like, oh yeah. And then Tim's like, are you gay though? And he's like, he kind of pauses. He's like, no. Like, what the hell? And then she's like, Daisy's like, oh, do you want a glass of wine? He's like, yeah, I can't stay long. What the hell? And then I don't know what else happens here, because I'm kind of blanking a little bit, but it was pretty funny.
So that all goes on, and the like landlady or whatever ends up coming over too. Oh, earlier on in the show, before they moved in, we did see Nick Frost from the other Edgar Wright films, like Shaun of the Dead and stuff. He plays a more prominent role in the, as the series goes on, as the best friend of Tim. And he helped
Mike.
Him. Yeah, Mike is his name, and he helped him move. And he's got like a he's got like this old panel van, like painted in camouflage, and he's like this militant sort of guy or whatever. So yeah, we see him like just a weapons expert. He just like throwing shit in the back of the van, like not caring that it's falling all out of the boxes and shit. So yeah, I saw that earlier, but we hear the landlady and her daughter fighting in the flat above them, and basically he's like, you know, don't ask her about it, you know, or something like that, because, you know, and then she comes down and she's just like rambling it on and on. So yeah, I don't know, I can't remember what happens after that if much.
Well, basically she talked about how like they were letting the dog sleep in the bed and she didn't like it or something like that.
Yeah.
She pretty much kicked her out, and then that's why she came down to just basically chat with them and basically kind of sizing them up, because they're kind of getting caught in their lies a little bit about the relationship, you know, because they said that she's like, oh, you said 2 days ago that you were dating 5 years, 3 months and 8 days or whatever. And they're like, oh, because we have 2 anniversaries or blah, 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 or whatever. The artist dude, the guy who was there first, he's like some like avant-garde artist who like, you know, his whole thing is like aggression and anger and pain and fear, you know, to create his, you know, weird artwork or whatever, you know. And so, you know, we got that going on. The landlady seems like she's got a thing for this artist because she was kind of...
Yeah, it looks like they probably had some kind of history together in the past.
Yeah. And so she was kind of hinting at him to come with her, but he just like stayed sitting down and was like, wait a minute, like wait for her to leave. You know, and I don't know. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, the artist guy's name is Brian Topp. So,
right,
yeah, that's
Brian.
That's the character's name. And he is played by Mark Heap, who is like a pretty well-known British actor. He's been in
okay.
a lot of different things. So yeah.
Well.
Yeah, he's pretty creepy but funny.
Yeah, he did play a creepy artist dude really well.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention was that there were some really interesting, like, I don't know what you would call them, like, jump scares throughout the episode that were just seemed like they came out of nowhere. Like, for some reason, maybe we'll learn this later on, there was, like, these, like, two creepy girls that were in the closet. They were, like, twins.
Yeah, just randomly. It was kind of like, they talked simultaneously. They were kind of like like the twins in The Shining or something.
Yeah, they were saying that they had cleaned the closet, I guess, because I guess they work for her or I don't know. They never really,
And they were explained. wearing like, you know, like Girl Scout uniforms or something. It was just really.
Yeah, it was just and then like when they did that, it would transition to like this weird like red effect and like him, like Tim, like screaming. It had like this really almost like horror type of, you know.
As the show goes on and a lot of things, and they had some in this episode too, where they do a lot of like kind of like Family Guy type things where they reference other pop culture things, but like this was, this was before Family Guy and, you know, or around the same time as it, but done better in my opinion. But
I'm not a huge Family Guy
me either, but I mean I was just trying to think of and it's like sometimes fantasy things, like you have like jumps to different things, and like there was one in the episode where they were talking about Scooby-Doo.
Oh yeah, that was good.
And said, you know, like Tim said, you know, yeah, he always thought of himself as Freddy, you know, as Fred from Scooby-Doo. And she said she always thought of herself as Daphne. And then they cut out to a wide thing and they're basically wearing Shaggy and Velma costumes. So it's just like,
no, because they both think of themselves as like the cool.
Yeah, but
you know,
they're more than the nerdy ones. Yeah, so it's just funny.
Like, nope, you're actually Shaggy. Yeah, that was. It kind of that's that familiarity I was talking about. Like, there's something about that reminds me of other things I have watched, but I can't quite I can't quite put my finger on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's, I like it because it's like familiar. There's something comforting about it. But I just can't quite figure it out what it reminds me of. You know, it could just remind me of. Maybe I watched that a long time ago. I just don't remember too much. That could be like a deja vu type of, you know, situation, a sitch, you know. But lots of like cool one-offs. Like again, with the last show we had watched with Bad Education, with British shows, I've noticed that at least the good ones, because you know there's a lot of shitty British shows, just like there's a lot of terrible American shows, you know. And what I've noticed though is that the really good ones are like rife with like one-liners, like really good banter, and like, or in this case, not so much one-liners, but like scenarios, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That are like real quick, and it kind of just fade away, and then they kind of move to the next one. Monty Python, of course, was really big on this as well, way back in the day. And I like that kind of style, you know? It's just something that it's kind of jarring. It kind of takes you out of like a reverie if you're kind of not paying attention. All of a sudden, you see like these creepy twins in the closet, like what? You know, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a good show. You know, I look forward to watching more episodes if I can find them on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah. At one point they did actually, I've watched it. And in the future we may cover it. There is an American pilot. They remade the pilot for American audiences.
Oh boy.
As a possible American version. And it didn't get past the pilot. Sarah Rue, who we encountered in American Pie Girls and, she was on the TV show that was that show with Andy Dick and what was his name?
Oh, I remember that one.
Something, what was she in?
I remember that. I can't,
something with perfect in the title. I'm just trying to,
I can't think of it either.
Yeah, she was also in Can't Hardly Wait. Is it less than perfect? Is that what it is? Yeah, less than perfect. That was the show.
Something like that. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, she was in a lot of things. She was also in Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane. But anyway, she played the female lead in it, renamed April. And then Josh Lawson is an Australian actor who played the pharmacist on Superstore.
Okay.
He played the American version of the Tim role, renamed Ben. So yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. So, sometime we might want to check that out just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, because we've done a few episodes like that where we took we reviewed a version of an American show and an American version of a British show.
This we might just, you know, cover it for our piloter, thing. That happened. But yeah, this show ran for the Spaced only had 14 episodes. I looked it up.
Oh man, British show.
Yeah, it ran for two series of like seven episodes each. So yeah.
Ah man. Oh well. It's this typical British stuff. That's the other thing too. I don't like about British TV is that you find something that's really good, and it's like I guess you can look at it both ways. Is that they don't want to outstay its welcome either. You know, like American shows tend to do, where it's like a show could have ended like three or four seasons ago, but they just keep it going. You know. So I guess you know you can look at it that way. That they just pretty much went out with a bang. You know, and didn't let it just fizzle out.
Yeah, because you don't let something become like the last few seasons of most sitcoms where it's just like, okay, why are we still going?
Like the last season of The Walking Dead, and Walking Dead could have really ended at their season 8, really, and it went on for 11 seasons, and it was just it became ridiculous. And
then you have some shows that should have ended like after the first episode, and they ran 11 seasons.
Well, yep. I can think of a few. I'm not gonna name them, but I can think of a
few. So, but anyways, hopefully we might cover some more of this if I hope the strike ends soon. But I mean, if the strike continues, maybe we'll cover another episode of the show or so.
It sounds a good show.
Yeah, this is available on DVD with a commentary from the cast and crew of the show, plus special guests as like Quentin Tarantino, Kevin Smith, Bill Hader, Diablo Cody, Matt Stone, and Patton Oswalt joining them for commentary on the episodes. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in some ways, this actually reminds me of that one, in certain ways, that one show that we watched that Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn was in that we covered once upon a time, where it was like kind of like they were like working at some kind of like comic book store or something. Or
it was called like something to do with nerds or something. I remember,
it was like, something like super nerds or something like that.
Wow, that was like a year or two ago, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, the kind of style of that show had to have been influenced by Spaced, so yeah,
I mean, it did have that similar style. By the way, guys, that episode of American Pie Girls Rules is like our most popular episode for some reason.
Yeah, especially on YouTube.
Yeah, like over 100,000 views or more or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember what
the something like that. It was a lot.
Yeah,
we have no idea why the algorithm just happened to favor us for no apparent reason, I guess, for that one video, and or maybe we got the search engine optimization just right for we didn't realize how, you know, or something like that. Or whatever.
I know. Yeah. You know. Right now it's at 441,000 views.
Right.
And that's on the first channel that we have it on. And we also have it.
That's right.
It's on two channels. Yeah. And it's on the other channel.
Not to brag or anything, but just saying, you know.
Yeah. On the other channel, it's got 46,000 views.
Okay.
Quite as many, but still, it's our biggest one on that channel, too. So.
And I have no idea why. Maybe we just reviewed it at the right time or uploaded it at the right time. I mean, there's so many variables.
The re-upload was uploaded like a year or two later, so I don't know.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't know.
And it's still got 46,000. So it's just...
I guess people like it for some reason.
Maybe there's something in the algorithm that just makes people watch it.
It's wild. I love it.
Anyways, any final thoughts here on Spaced?
No, not really. I would recommend watching it if you like that kind of humor. I thought it was pretty good. It was wacky, but not too much. I just liked it. I thought it was, you know, it was something that I actually enjoyed watching. You know, it wasn't just one of these things of like, you know, like, we got to watch something that's terrible and make fun of it.
It seems like the British sitcoms we've watched, I mean, I mean, obviously there's probably tons and tons of horrible British sitcoms, but the ones that we've been watching since the strike have not been that bad at all.
Oh, they haven't. Terry and June, that one was pretty decent.
Yeah, then Bad Education, we've covered two episodes of, and that was really good too. So
if you're
listening and you have some other shows, like whether it be a British sitcom or like an Australian sitcom or a Canadian sitcom, anything that's not covered by SAG-AFTRA, send it to us and we'll check it out, you know? Let us know. It's mike@cullenpark.com. You can send me the info there or check out any of our social media, you know, our TikTok, our Facebook, our X, which I may be getting rid of soon. Threads. I'm trying to get a Blue Sky, but I'm working on that. So, you have to be invited to get that. So.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, so if anybody's out there and wants to invite me to Blue Sky that already has it, mike@cullenpark.com. Just send me a message and we'll figure it out.
Why do you need to get invited to join?
It's still early. Like a lot of social media places were like that when they first did it. Like they have different things. You either have to be invited or I've done other social media things in the past that I had to be invited to. And then most of those just died. When Facebook started, you had to be like a member. First, you had to be a Harvard student, and then you had to be an Ivy League student after that. And then they expanded it to all colleges, and then eventually expanded it to everybody.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I remember.
So
that.
Yeah. So there's different things that they do to try to, you know, grow naturally as opposed to like getting overwhelmed with a lot of people joining and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like if you don't have a structure in place like with Threads does with being connected to Instagram, that can and you know, which is owned by Meta, which owns Facebook. You know, you already have the computers to handle the situation and all that stuff and the people behind it. But if you're a smaller upstart social media network, you don't want to all of a sudden have, you know, like millions of people joining your thing and then not be able to handle all the traffic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, but like I said, to do that, check out all of our social media. Would appreciate that. Check out the links that we have in our show notes to lots of different charities. Right now there's, you know, one, you know, important is to take care of the people affected by the strikes. I mean, I'm sure that they still need help even though the strikes may be ending. There's still people aren't working yet. Especially the people in SAG-AFTRA aren't. And then there's other people that are affected, you know, like the craft services and the grips and the other people on the crew and everything that, you know, goes into making a movie or a TV show, you know, that are affected. And that's the Entertainment Fund, which is linked in our show notes. Anyways, any other final thoughts here before we say bye?
No.
Okay, folks. Well, just remember one thing. Buy yourself a stun gun. Remember that I love you. Sesame loves you. And until next time,
bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.